This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. I'm Jenny Nyman, and it's time for the Kenai Conversation. Municipal Election Day is right around the corner, Tuesday, October 6th. And the Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor's seat is up for grabs. Incumbent Mayor Charlie Pierce is facing Linda Farnsworth Hutchings. In a do-over election of sorts, since they ran against each other 3 years ago as well, Farnsworth Hutchings says she wants to bring her financial background to the position. So, first question for you, why are you running? Why are you running again? What is it that you hope to bring to the mayor's office?
Well, I'm running again because I only lost by 45 votes, so obviously it wasn't a mandate. And when I had attended assembly and school board meetings for at least a year before I ran the last time. I have been attending every meeting, whether it's on Zoom or listening to it on KDLL or being in person at the meetings before they changed them to Zoom. And I have watched what has gone on, and I have felt that there needed to be a more stable, respectful, and transparent person that is administering the borough, because I don't feel it's being done. And as I looked at the budget this year, it concerned me greatly, because we went from the previous administration leaving us with $22 million in our fund balance, and the first year of the current administration, it went up $4 million. So we had a nest egg of $26 million, which was wonderful. That money did not come from anything particular that the administration did. It was federal funds that came through and interest income on our fund balance that had been established by previous administrations. So I didn't get concerned the first year. I just listened. I know we had a number of lawsuits. We had a number of severance packages, and the borough was losing those lawsuits. So then we jumped to the next year, and all of a sudden we've gone from $1.9 million in savings interest for the money that we had in our fund balance down to $900,000. And when I saw what was happening in that budget, the interest that is going to be paid in the fiscal year 2021 is going to be $341,000. So we've lost $1.6 million in interest income alone because that fund balance has been spent down by $20 million. We're sitting at $6 million in the fund balance. The ordinance that has been put in place, which was 2017-031, said we had to maintain a $14 million fund balance to be financially stable for the borough. That is not happening. Even to raise it up to $10 million, the budget that my opponent presented to the assembly was raising mill rate by 1.1 mills, which means you're going to have 5.8 for the borough. That does not include the fact that he has charged every one of the service areas an additional percentage for administration. So now they're going to have to raise their mill rates. I looked at Nikiski alone because they have the rec center, they have the EMS, they have roads. They're going to be looking at 11.35 mills. They're getting close to Anchorage. And they don't have the services that mill rate should be providing. So I'm concerned. I'm a numbers person. I was reading the Clarion the other day, and my opponent said, oh, yeah, he's made 8% increase in revenues. And I thought, yeah, you made 8% more in revenues, but you also increased your expenses by 7.25, so it's pretty much a wash. And by spending down that fund balance that he also had in that newspaper article that he's very proud of paying for cash for all of these items, but that's where the savings went. And, you know, I'm a person that I look at what I'm making on my savings as opposed to what I'm going to have to pay out on the other side. So particularly as a municipality, you think about the future. There might be something that comes up that you have to be prepared for. So by spending that fund balance down, not only did he lose the interest that we were earning, but he lost for us the cushion, the creditworthiness, the bond rating. He's jeopardized the borough. And so this, I mean, it has become just so apparent that, what does he call himself, a generalist? Which means he doesn't have any expertise in any department. And that, I think, is scary. We are a big borough. We're as big as the state of Kentucky. We take in 80-some million dollars. We have got to be more fiscally responsible. So I guess that's basically why I'm running. We need somebody with administrative qualities that understand budgets. And I've worked budgets. I've worked budgets when I was on the Workers' Comp Board for the state of Alaska for 11 years. I worked city budgets because I'm chairman of Parks and Rec. I've worked personal private sector budgets for 35 years for two General Motors dealerships. I've traveled all over the United States giving seminars on accounting. So I feel that I'm more than qualified.
And so I don't want to speak for your opponent, of course, but mm-hmm. in previous interviews that he's done, has certainly mentioned the difficult fiscal situation the state has been in and loss mm-hmm. of revenue sharing and, you know, more difficult. They at one point were looking at doing a bond for school district maintenance and repairs and how challenging that is going to be and external factors basically that have affected the borough. So if you if this last term had been your term and you were facing some of these circumstances, what would have been your approach to have a different fiscal outlook 3 years later?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't have blown through $20 million. You just don't do that. You make sure that you piece things out. You go get a loan or you apply for grants. But you have to think about the future. And I don't think the future was thought about here. And that to me is sad. It really is. Because this borough has been in existence for how many years now? 40,
yeah, some and change,
years.
Yep.
We have never had a borough mayor go through that kind of money, ever. So.
And if you are to inherit this after Tuesday, what would be your approach to the budget going forward?
Well, first of all, I will collaborate. I'm a great collaborator. I love working with the assembly. I love working with department heads. I understand that, you know, you can work with your employees and your department heads, find efficiencies, see if they're, listen to them. What would be best in their department? Don't sit here and have a department that has no department head and try to make somebody else split their jobs. You don't get good performance. So I think there are a lot of small things that can work on it. The other thing is that, you know, we have got online sales tax now, which yep. that little bit is coming in to help. There's all kinds of small things. I've traveled the whole peninsula. Well, I've always traveled the whole peninsula. Being from here, I know people everywhere. And the little things that they would like to see done in their areas, working with KPED to bring small businesses in, because small businesses bring people who spend money, who give you sales tax. So those are all those little things that need to be worked on, but you have to be able to collaborate with people. And I think that collaboration is just not there.
So going forward then, speaking of sales taxes or revenue in general, at this point, do you think we need some sort of revenue generation measure? And if so, what would you see that being?
Well, first of all, I would like to spend the next year working on the budget, seeing what can be taken care of. I think the only thing that is equitable, and I've said this before, and I know that all everybody says, oh, well, that's more taxes, is a 0.5% sales tax. Your current borough mayor did raise the mill rate on property taxes, 0.2 mills, his first year in. And now with wanting to raise at 1.1 mills, that means it's only on the backs of the property owners. We have tourists. We didn't have as many from out of state this year, obviously.
Right.
But we had lots of Alaska tourists. Those people buy gasoline, buy a six-pack of beer, buy a hot dog, and you get money off of that. And so I feel that It's the other people that are helping us to pay for the services that we enjoy. So the only one I would really entertain is sales tax. I won't entertain bed tax. We don't have enough beds in the air in the whole peninsula to make it worthwhile, besides which it would be a nightmare trying to enforce because you've got little cabins hidden in woods. I mean, you're going to go knock on the door and say, hey, you know, did you pay sales tax?
Yes, the Airbnb revolution is yes. tough to get your arms
is,
around.
It is really, really tough. So obviously I won't be for that. And I really, really don't want to see property taxes increase because it's not just the fact that you have a mom and dad that are just scraping by, particularly this year, you don't want to add an additional burden to them. And 0.5% or 50 cents on $100 is nothing when it comes to sales tax, but it sure adds up because we take in $30 million in sales tax right now. So that's pretty incredible. And it's all earmarked for education. Can't be used for anything else.
That was going to be my next question, yes, of course. Yes. That. Half step, though, before we get into education, sales tax, would you be looking at a year-round sales tax then or try to do an increase in just the seasonal?
I don't think you will ever get to that, although I will tell you that when we lost that year-round, we lost $2 million. Mm-hmm. But I think it's easier to do the 0.5% because they see it as as approaching the tourism trade, which I think is a much easier way to do it. The only thing that I'm sad about on that no tax on food is, you know, is non-prepared, is the fact that it hits two quarters. You know, keep it one quarter or make it two quarters that are, because we have tourists in April, we have tourists in May, and we have tourists in October. So if you, or September, so if you took it and made it two quarters, no tax on non-prepared foods, and two quarters that have the sales tax, it would make it a lot easier on your businesses. It really would.
Okay. So moving that half step forward then into education, you know, that's obviously one of the big budgets. Mm-hmm. Some years battles, other years just discussions, but fund of the cap, don't fund of the cap, how to support the school district.
It is. It's, you know, I've sat on probably most every school board meeting that they have. I've watched them ponder their budgets. The increase in medical insurance for the teachers has taken a big chunk out of their budget. But what I want to say is, for the last 4 years, we have been flat funding. Everybody says, oh, well, you're giving them $50 million or $52 million. But that is not what they're actually giving to the school. The borough owns the buildings,
right.
So they have to maintain them.
All the in-kind stuff.
And so that's in-kind. They actually only get $38 million from the borough in actual cash. The rest, of course, they get from the state. But here's the thing about that $38 million. 30 to $31 million of it is sales tax. So they're not taking that much out of your property taxes. So I would love to say, you know, the school district needs to cut their budget, but I don't know how they can cut it much
more. Well, they have, certainly.
They have cut it a ton.
And they are, you know, unlike the borough, they have no mechanism to raise revenue for themselves.
Exactly, exactly. So I am definitely, you know, we need to fund to the cap because it really doesn't, at this point in time, we have to. They are still incurring all of those expenses, even though we don't always have kids in school. They're having to work a lot harder with the distance learning and with connections for the homeschooling. And it's a big project, but they have combined a lot of employees to do more than one job because they can be in central office, they can oversee a distance learning and still do their own job. And it's been tough, but I think they've done an admirable job.
Okay. And also speaking of budgets, the other, we'll call it discussion that happens every year surrounds non-departmental funding.
Non-departmental.
And you know, on one hand, you can make the case, well, that's an easy cut, you know, because you're not obligated to make any of those funds. But those are obviously services that are, you know, within a municipal wheelhouse and it's saving the borough a certain amount of money to contract with an organization. So where would you fall on those
We're
folks?
Talking about Kenai Tourism Marketing.
Yep.
Kenai Economic Development. Mm-hmm. Small business development.
And yeah. Over the years, there's been some CARTS funding and then not some CARTS funding.
Yeah.
So public transportation
funding. There is no
longer
any CARTS funding. No. And CARTS gets a big chunk of money from the federal government. So I just don't see that that's a need for us. The thing.
Just to jump in, the other one that is generally funded in there is the Jumpstart program at KPC.
Well, yes and no. That program actually is a mill rate that was put into in an ordinance for the borough. So it's not like it's non-departmental. It is an education component that there is actually a mill rate tied to.
Okay.
So they
Fair
get,
enough. Okay.
I think this year it's like 800 and some thousand. But no, that is definitely part of our mill rate.
Okay.
And so we're looking at KPED. I think they're doing an excellent job with their little jumpstart programs, and what Tim Dillon has done in assisting people in the COVID grant money mm-hmm. has been phenomenal. I've really been impressed with what they've done, and they took on the census, which has really been huge. I wish them well. I mean, it's a huge, huge job. And me, as far as going through old records, looking at ancestry, I love reading those records.
It is a great resource.
You know, in Canada, they actually let you know how many bolts of fabric they had in their homes.
it's really fascinating. Those details.
And then we've got the small business development. I think that they have brought some nice features to the area. I think that some people just need a little bit of help, because let's face it, you look at some of those documents and you go, oh my gosh, there's no way. I can't even begin. So I think that they have been an incredible asset. And when it comes to Kenai Tourism Marketing, they have a membership that pays pretty handsomely into that program. The fact that the borough makes so much money in sales tax off of tourism, people coming into our area, and not just Alaskans, you know, in previous years, how many times did you go to the Soldotna Creek Park and you heard German and you heard French and you heard Spanish and you're going, we're quite cosmopolitan. But these people all heard from this from the booklet that Kenai Tourism Marketing put out there to bring people, because we didn't see the booklets on the peninsula, but they saw them in the lower 48 and they saw them in Europe. So I really feel that that was probably the cheapest amount of advertising we could get, because we drew in a lot of money off of that. And I know there are some people that disagree with me, but I felt that when that money was vetoed, that it was like we were killing the goose that lays the golden egg.
Well, and I think part of maybe that larger discussion is, you know, whose responsibility is it to market the borough? Because each city has, you know, their Chamber of Commerce that does a lot of that. And then KPTMC was kind of an overall for the borough, but then also the unincorporated areas. I mean, Moose Pass wants to get some tourists too. Mm-hmm. So should the borough be taking on more marketing efforts, or does it make more sense to partner with an outside? I mean, that's been such an involving discussion over the years.
I have to agree, it's been a great discussion, but the whole point is that they have done an incredible job and they can work with all of those areas. And I don't think it's a job of the borough to advertise the borough. I think that by the time you developed a whole new department, it would cost you a lot more than $100,000 or $200,000. And that's what they're doing their job with, because they're also getting dues from their other members, you know, whether you're a guide, a lodge owner, or if you're just an individual. I have a membership with KPTMG, so I mean, it's just something you can do.
Okay. Are there other areas in particular of the budget that you are interested in addressing or making changes to?
Well,
you mentioned, for instance, working with smaller communities to do things to bring in more business, which would then help the borough with sales tax. What do you have any specific examples of things of that nature?
Well, you know, like I said, I've been visiting with a lot of them, and a lot of them have had, you know, they've lost so much during this challenging time that we are having, and they are starting to look at more from home type businesses, you know, whether you're knitting hats or whether you're making different art pieces, and they can advertise them on the web. But we need a more robust system for our internet coverage. And we find this all the time. We find it right in Soldana in the summertime when you have all the tourists. I hate to tell you how slow my internet goes, and I'm supposed to have one of the most robust you've got. But, you know, it gets bogged down. So we need more, I feel, in the internet capabilities. The broadband needs to be expanded.
Okay.
So that's a pretty big issue, because I think we need to start generating these smaller businesses and encouraging them.
Okay. And obviously, you know, one thing any level of government can do to maybe encourage businesses to come is the tax rates, right? Set mm-hmm. them in a way that are amenable to folks. Land usage, you know, the borough has zoning, but it's different in the borough than it would be in a city. And mm-hmm. then you've got land availability, you know, how much is for sale? Are you making available in that regard?
Well, there is a lot of property that is for sale that the borough has subdivided. I mean, there's nice pieces off of K Beach that they've done. And the thing is that, you know, you have to have kind of a happy medium. You've got an individual that's got a 20-acre plot, and he's subdividing it and selling it, and right next to him, the borough's doing it. So you have to make sure that everything is pretty much on an even keel. But I think the other thing that I see outside the borough, I've talked to people that they're having problems with gravel pits or not good roads or whatever. And, you know, as I tell them all, you have got to come together as a group and do your local zoning, because the borough does not have borough-wide zoning. It has to be implemented by the people that are in the area. And
implemented preventatively is the thing that generally gets folks. They don't realize they should have thought of a problem before a problem exists. And then often it's a little late to go back and
try
and institute
something. The whole point is that they bought that property because they didn't want rules and restrictions.
Right. Yep.
And so, you know, you have to work both ways. Both sides have to come together. And I don't know that there's a good way. I mean, it's just just they have to work it out. It's just they have to collaborate. There's no other choice, or else they're going to be miserable on both sides.
Okay. What do you see the borough's role as far as interacting with the municipalities and having a good, you know, relationship with city managers and city councils and that sort of thing?
Well, I will tell you, like I said, I've been here a long time, so I probably know two or three of those city managers personally. A couple of them grew up with my children. So, you know, I'm all for collaboration, because they have a skill set that is needed, and you have to work with your communities and your cities. I mean, that's all there is to it. I'm a great collaborator. I always have been. So when you can get the assembly together with your department heads and your cities and your small communities. I mean, we want representation everywhere. We want to hear from everyone, because once you come together, somebody over here might be able to help someone over here. And all of a sudden you have a viable business and things are going great. So I just think collaboration is huge.
Okay. And then moving on to, of course, we can't get out of this without talking about COVID for a couple minutes. Not that the issue that no one running for office this go around wanted to have to inherit, of course. Mm-hmm. But so how maybe grade the borough's response up until this point? And of course, you always have to throw in the caveat that we are a second class borough. We do not have health powers. There's right. only so much within the borough's toolbox that they can do mm-hmm. To assist or mandate or whatnot. So yeah. with that caveat, how do you think the borough has been doing in COVID response? And what would you like to see going forward?
You know, I have watched Brenda Ahlberg from the borough and Dan Nelson, also from the borough in that emergency management department, and Peggy Erkina from the school district, and how well that they have all worked together. So the information is getting out, and I think we have seen a decline in our cases, and I think I don't think we could have done much more, but the information that has come out to make you feel comfortable with what's going on so that you're aware of what's going on, I think has been commendable. And as you said, we have no health powers, so we can't issue mandates. And I think that's about all you can say. You can just like we went through the flu in 1918, and we went through the virus of polio in what, the late 40s, early 50s. We have to be diligent. We have to be respectful. And we will work our way through this.
Okay. And, of course, the CARES funding that has come to the borough and the cities and through the state and at the federal level has been helpful, of course. The caveat there is it has to be spent by the end of the year. And so January going forward is just this blank slate of question marks. Are there things that you think the borough could be doing outside of there being another batch of CARES-like funds to pass on to the community that might be helpful to businesses staying in business?
Well, you know, I've seen what the cities have done. They have done a remarkable job with the funds that have come to them. I know that there was money being held at the borough level, but I was talking to Assemblyman Cox yesterday, and he has been working with Assemblyman Smalley trying to do for the borough what the city did for rent and mortgage assistance, because if you were in Soldotna or Kenai or Seward or Homer, you had, and Kachemak City, you had the availability of applying for some funds. And so they are putting an ordinance on in the packet for the October 13th meeting to go ahead and add this to the CARES funding and put $2 to $3 million in rent and mortgage assistance for people outside the city limits. So I'm really excited about that. So that's going to take up quite a bit of the balance of that money. So I'm hopeful that it all comes to pass.
Okay. And there's certainly been discussion as well about in-person meeting. Nobody likes a Zoom meeting. I have sat through plenty. I can completely relate. That's been a huge source of frustration. So, you know, where's the line between continuing online and offering in person? It had been up to you, would you have had in person yet, or would you still be doing online meetings?
Well, we wouldn't have been able to have in person yet because the assembly chambers are being remodeled at this time. They figured it was a good time to get it done. And the school district has got meetings in the auditorium.
They've been at yes,
but
they have a different system.
A totally different IT system than the borough because they're used to distance learning, so they were able to accomplish this. There are three meetings left before the first of the year for the assembly. So what's going to happen is that we will continue to do Zoom because the assembly room won't be ready. We don't have the computer system to handle an in-person meeting at any other location. So I know, me particularly, I loved going to the meetings because I loved to give testimony, and I liked watching the interaction between different assembly members and the people in the chambers. So it has been hard because you just don't get the feel for what is really going on when you're watching on Zoom. But it can't be changed at this point. And we're just about to the point where we're going to be able to have in-person meetings again.
Okay. So you have no criticism for the plan in place and the steps that are being taken?
I mean, it would have been nice, but there's nothing you could really do about it.
Okay.
I mean, the amount of money we would have had to spend on a special system for a few meetings would not have been worthwhile. It would not have been a good usage of our limited funds.
Okay. Well, that seems like a good segue to a wrap up. We're running low on time, but coming from the financial end of things as you are, is there anything else that you really want voters to be aware of about you? Is there some other burning issue that you want to tackle if you're in the mayor's office here come this year?
Well, there are probably a few other issues that I would like to tackle, but I think the major one is going to be getting this borough back on track financially and to have a good rapport with your employees and your department heads, and to be able to collaborate very well with your assembly and your cities and their city managers. It concerns me when I hear my opponent say, "I am your voice." He's got 9 other people that were elected to be voices. And so I think that is that is huge. You need to understand that you don't just, it's not just you. It's all of them. So there you have it.
All right. Well, thank you, Linda, so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.